Hi, I'm Jason Newlander, and I've created a new fictional podcast on the oneofus.net podcast network called Salt. If you're a fan of crime noir with a little sci-fi thrown in, then I think this just might be your thing. Jean-Pierre Desperoir is a Haitian-born salt smuggler living in 1931 Tunis and born during a voodoo ritual with the uncanny ability to travel through space and time. Think The Big Sleep meets 12 Years a Slave meets Doctor Who, and you've got the idea. 20 half-hour episodes tell the first season story, and I promise it's a doozy. Salt podcasts every other week on the oneofus.net podcast network. Subscribe today.
Hello, and welcome to another review by The Unusual Suspects. Today we are reviewing Mary Sue avec fromage.
What does that mean again?
As it has been titled in America, Lucy.
Or A Tree of Life by Luc Besson.
That would be Mary Sue with cheese.
Or All of the X-Men.
All of the X-Men. Or Where the Hell is Cloak, because here's Dagger.
Oh my God, I would love to see a Cloak and Dagger movie.
That's what I actually whispered when she has her little transformation. I was just like, hey, I wonder if Cloak is in the next cell. Because it really, like, if you just stood that alone, it would have been a good, like, this is Dagger's origin story.
No, it was funny, as I was watching the movie, there's a part where she just arms an entire room of people. I'm like, I want to see this character in Avengers. That's what I want to see.
Avengers would be a lot slower if they had her power set. But
Avengers by Luc Besson would be a lot trippier.
Yikes. But anyway, I am Bo for the Unusual Suspects.
JC.
Elliot.
And as you can tell, Chris isn't here, and neither's Brian. We're free! Free! Finally free! To do reviews while they go wallow in San Diego.
They're Comic-Con. In fucking Comic-Con, and we had to watch Lucy.
So I hope they're fucking waiting
those
in
those rat bastards in perfect weather.
I hope they're waiting in a long, long fucking line in that perfect weather. So Lucy is Luc Besson's first offering in a while. He's been kind of doing more screenwriting and producing over the last decade than he's been doing directing. But he's recently kind of come back into frame with The Family that came out last year. And now he's kind of getting back to his with this. He's getting back to his sci-fi and super hot chicks with a cool power set.
Yeah, and no complaints about the super hot chicks part.
No.
We're fine with that.
Yep, we're okay.
Although science fiction, we were talking before we started, that's a little bit charitable for this movie.
It's really charitable. It's science fiction, with the implied air quotes totally there. And a lot of this, well, the whole basic idea of this movie goes along with the more or less debunked idea that we're only using 10% of our brains. And if we could unlock the potential of that other 90%, we'd have magic Scientology powers.
Oh my God, you're right.
And we, you know,
and
we,
Xena would come down from
Xena
the sky.
Xena would come down and we could ignite people from the inside. It would be awesome.
And we could control the entire world like an iPad.
And of course, the way to activate this is through really, really hard fucking drugs. Yeah. Just like Hunter S. Thompson would have had us believe.
Yeah, he'd have been a thunder god at this point.
He would. And the titular character of Lucy is played by Scarlett Johansson. She is a kind of a party girl hanging out in Taiwan.
Going to school.
There's kind of the implication that she doesn't really know what she's doing with her life. You know, they don't really go into a lot of backstory. She has made a rather tragic choice in a vacation boyfriend.
Yeah.
And this gets this one little mistake, because she isn't set up to be incredibly credulous or stupid or anything. But there's, like, literally one instant she doesn't react fast enough.
She actually made the right decision.
Yeah, she made the right decision, and she got fucked anyway. And she ends up falling into a kind of cabal of high-level drug espionage in Taiwan, and becomes an unwitting mule. Basically, they knock her out, they slit her open, they put drugs in her intestines, and, you know, I just gotta say, if anyone ever uses me as a drug mule, I would prefer the surgery method as well.
Yeah, you know,
as opposed to the other methods.
Well, I mean, the other method is just a small balloon goes up your butthole.
they force feed you, then they go on the other end.
Yeah, it's like, just surgery's fine. Just,
and this one, these are really, really big packets, though. They're like, it's like they're hiding a kilo of Blue Angel special from Breaking Bad.
That's what I'm saying, because it's a big packet. If it was just a little tiny balloon.
It's full of Breaking Bad meth. I kept on expecting to see
Walt come out of nowhere and be like, that's my last batch. Exactly. And then you see Will Smith and Martin Lawrence from Bad Boys 2 coming out of nowhere.
And this does prove that Walter White was indeed cooking some really good fucking shit, because as sometimes happens, things go awry in the drug dealing, drug mule trade, and the package that Scarlett Johansson's character is carrying ruptures inside of her intestines and is quickly absorbed into her in a sequence which is basically the origin story of Dazzler from Marvel Comics.
Yeah, it's like they watched the opening of X-Men, the first one, and said, yep, we're going to use that. That's exactly what we want.
Parts of it also look like they were taken from Inner Space, that old movie from the
90s. Oh, yeah, no, there's a lot of zoom effects, it's Luc Besson. Luc Besson likes bright and pretty colors, and they are all the fuck over this.
I just want to know what drugs he took before he started getting this together.
I think it's just being French.
Oh, well, yeah. That would be a thing.
Overripe cheese and lots of wine.
Yeah.
As my last name is Fontenet, that could be explaining why I'm so weird sometimes. It's like the French comes into me every now and then.
There you go. It's the little Creole. As it turns out, this drug is, once again, lots of pseudoscience, credulous stuff that you have to be very credulous to. You know, you just say okay and go along for the ride.
Exactly.
They posit that this is this super chemical that is what
pregnant
mothers kind of endow their children with in the womb, that allows them to grow all of the bones and flesh and all this great stuff.
Yeah, and
which is not really true.
And I'm not trying to go over biggest air quotes of all time science in this movie, but they effectively gloss over the fact that they pretty much said that vitality in a fetus starts at 6 weeks. The problem with the science in this movie is that, not that they get it wrong, and it's not that it's ham-handed, it's that they gloss over important.
It's non-existent.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, at this point, it's just science magic. Yeah.
No matter how many times Morgan Freeman, who plays a supposed expert in the field of brain percentology.
The scientific Negro.
Yeah.
No matter how many times he gets up in front of you and spouts off facts, no matter how much you might be inclined to believe him, because he is Morgan Freeman, it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
going along with the conceit, this activates her special purpose. And she starts gaining more and more control of her percentage of her brain that she uses. And, right off the bat, she's like batting 15%, and, she's kicking off ninja moves and blowing away her captors. And she in effect becomes, the stereotypical Mary Sue. Like she goes from being, party girl to a hyper intelligent, I have magic powers, can do anything girl.
Yeah, and before we get too far in the plot, I want to mention that, since this is a loop.
Well, it's basically over.
Yeah.
it's a really tight 89-minute movie.
Yeah, it doesn't waste your time.
It's a quickie. Yeah. It's a four-issue limited series.
Yeah. It actually felt like I was watching a Warren Ellis comic book the entire time.
Very much. I could totally see Warren Ellis doing something like this.
Maybe Grant Morrison. It felt like Transmetropolitan almost.
If they got a little more cosmic, and they treaded the edge, at the end here, they're like almost getting into 2001, like, cosmic trippy territory, but they pull back just in time.
Those moments were really odd.
Yeah.
And speaking of trippy, you got Luc Besson, he has these really funny editing things that he does, where he'll enter, like, first scene, and you see Lucy, Scarlett Johansson, about to get put into this trap, and he cuts to the Africa savanna, and it's cheetahs watching an antelope.
Well, yeah, not even that. Before that, he cuts to a mouse about to go into a mouse trap, and it's like, we get it.
We get it.
No, but who do you think this movie's for?
No, but you get it, but I found that really fun.
I did too, and he's kind of, you know, he's taking the idea that, well, by the middle of this movie, Lucy is at the point that we are when we're looking at these nature documentaries. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how she's seeing everything.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, replaying into that, it does have this kind of, you know, ooh, nature motif that Bassan will flash into in the interstices, which is pretty impressive considering how short this is. So you can consider it a really good playful device, or you can consider it padding, however you want.
I kind of thought it was a little padding. I'm glad it didn't really last beyond that opening sequence.
It didn't do a Tree of Life, which yeah. I know is just a movie I don't get, because Bo and I had this discussion a few times.
No, not me.
You said it's like some movies are pros. And
oh,
some
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but the opening sequence of Tree of Life, I remember watching it with one of my best friends, and we're sitting there, and we just ordered, we're like, oh, it's Brad Pitt, it's fine. And the first 7 minutes are a screensaver, and he's like trying to show you, but this actually does sort of the same thing in a much better way. He doesn't linger on it. Basically, he doesn't make it to where the movie doesn't function without it. It can be taken out, and you're not going to miss a beat. So mm-hmm. I feel like that, along with the science, is something that, if you're into this, if you're in for a trippy ride, this yeah. movie should go see.
And there's, you know, there's not much else to this. She decides that she's gonna, you know, she needs to get access to all the rest of the drugs and unlock as much of her potential as possible. Not to mention taking out the drug cartel that did this to her at the same time. That's pretty much about it. Other yeah. than you get magic powers. This is a confection of a movie. You know,
a perfect phrase.
Yeah, it's this is not here to you know, fill you up. It's not a steak. But I thought it was a pretty fun confection. This is a movie that if I was channel surfing and it came on, exactly. I'd be like, ooh, I'm gonna stay and watch this. You know,
yeah, this is a perfect movie that whenever it gets on Netflix,
yeah,
you'll have a good night.
You know, there's nothing particularly, you know, like Oscar worthy or award worthy or anything like that. Although Scarlett Johansson does a great job, she's been kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah,
you know, and this is just another, like, you know, link in her armor that proves that wow, she's got a lot of range.
Well, I'll tell you, the actors in this movie save it from being really silly.
I agree,
because there are so many scenes where it's just one camera, Scarlett Johansson or Morgan Freeman, and just their weight of their performance is selling that dialogue. Because anybody. If you don't say that exactly right, you're gonna have audiences laughing at it.
Yeah,
she totally sells all. Like I said, she kind of goes from this, you know, party girl who gets into this extremely terrifying situation, and then, you know, turns into, you know, literally a human computer, and then, like, kind of a embodiment of cosmic consciousness, and yeah. and she sells it completely.
She becomes a living tribunal.
Yeah, 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 very, very much. Yeah, and there's a bunch of scenes in here that I'm like, oh, this would work really good. It's a Marvel Comics thing. She could be eternity writer, right on.
Yeah, it's like I thought I was seeing Guardians of the Galaxy in a few days, not yeah, today.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that'll agree though. She did a really good job. Also, did a really good job. The main drug cartel villain, Min-Sik Choi.
He was the main character in Old Boy.
Main character in Old Boy.
Oh, my God, you're right. That's exactly.
No, I didn't get that.
I was trying to.
I was waiting to whip out a hammer at some point.
Yeah, because I love that guy because he reminds me of the Russian evil guy in Bad Boys 2.
He's he's Korean. Oldham.
Okay.
Korean Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
All of them.
And he really is, like, just, you know, he's playing a drug cartel. They don't even bother to give him any fucking subtitles in this motherfucker.
No.
Speak fucking, what do you speak? Korean? Yeah. And because Chinese, of, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Because of that, I'm convinced, because, I mean, the direction in this is pretty silly. I think, you know, Scarlett Johansson was the only one really kind of giving it an A effort. You know, who knows what Luc Besson was telling the cast.
He's muttering in French.
Yeah.
Take all this E and yeah. then perform.
Yeah, but Min-Sik Choi, after seeing this movie, I'm convinced that there's no wrong that guy can do. Because that guy, anything that guy does, I think he's going to knock it out of the park. And so he should definitely be in more movies that play in America, because I think that would be really good.
I would love for him to have a bigger international presence, because he's getting a little long in the tooth, but he's still an amazing actor.
My one little thing I was thinking about, it's like, if you've shown, like, if your gang has gone against this woman, and she's literally lifted your guys and kept them stuck on the ceiling.
At some point, you just, you know, because towards the end, she's, like, dealing with these very, like, you know, cosmic, like, you know, the great problems of humanity and what is the nature of time. And they're like, yeah, we got to get in there and get our drugs. At some point, like, yeah, after the fifth, like, I'm going to use my mind powers to, you know,
eviscerate you.
You know, you got to go, like, you know what, they're just drugs. Let's go back to Taiwan, make some good old-fashioned methadone, maybe some cocaine.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not a criticism toward the movie. It's just something I whenever I watch Under Siege or Die Hard or anything like that, it's like, you know what, criminal organization needs to be like, okay, we got a John McClane. We're going to pack it up.
Yeah.
We're cutting our losses.
Well, this
fuck, fuck a bunch of this.
This is well, we've got a John McClane, and he's also a wizard.
Yeah, it's like, we got a Harry Potter here. We're going to leave and just say, all those 50 people that died, sucks to be you, but we're going back to Taiwan.
Yeah, so. I know. It's just like, but they seem to be very game. I mean, you know, it's like, fuck, they're drug dealers. They're not the smartest kids.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just like, hey, we got a rocket launcher. What's the worst that could happen? She could, like, split you into opponent atoms.
It's fine.
Make
it's
you
fine.
Disappear in a nuclear explosion.
That's something I would have liked to see. I would have liked to see her go Dr. Manhattan on someone and, like, literally
from
the inside.
That being said, I will say that this does a really good job of taking a Mary Sue, a character with you know, almost literally limitless power potential, and still generating effective conflict, still making you interested in the storyline, you know, and still having, you know, even enjoyable fight sequences.
Well, and I tell you,
so, you know, that's nice. If you're gonna have an all-powerful character, this is how you do it.
And I think you're completely right. And I think the way they do it is they move so fast. They're moving from pace to pace to pace that you don't have time to think, well, there's nothing really going on, because it just keeps moving. Like, there was never a point in that movie where it stopped long enough for me to even think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Which, if you're going to be selling science magic like this, you got to move fast.
And it works, because, you know, between Johansson's performance and you know, the nature of the speedy script, you're just like, ooh, I hope they get to the candy before she blows up.
Exactly. And they build real tension, because there's a scene in an airplane bathroom where I was really like, okay, well, is this going to turn into a different movie real quick?
Yeah.
But it stays really tight, it's really concise, and it does you know, the super intelligent thing better than a lot of movies that have tried to do it. Like Phenomenon back in '96.
Yeah.
Tried to do this, but they got hung up a little bit too much on Americana and
I thought when I read this, I thought it was going to be kind of a retread of Limitless.
Okay.
Read the initial idea for this, and it's not that at all.
No.
You know, for better or for worse, because Limitless is arguably a much better movie.
Oh, yeah. But,
I like Limitless a lot.
This is, nonetheless, this is a really, really fun movie.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, it's that, you know, the kind of piece of candy movie that you just kind of wander over every summer and go, oh, that was fun, and I'll watch this again when I see it when it comes up.
Yeah.
No, I think when you say confection, it was right. It's like a salted caramel cupcake.
Yeah.
Between, like, all the steaks that we've had this summer.
Yes.
So I mean, it's like we had that ape steak a few weeks ago, very filling. But it's like, oh, I'm something sweet. Scarlett Johansson. She got mind powers. Yeah, give it to me.
And I agree with your point about not thinking about it while it's happening, because it's not until we've been sitting here that I've been thinking about the drug is essentially a chemical that the body makes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They didn't synthesize it. They didn't mix it with other stuff. They just took that exact chemical and just made a shitload of it.
None of this.
That never works out well.
Why would you be synthesizing something like this anyway? And why was that? You know, why did you hire this goober shithead to deliver it to you in the first place? They're like, if you stop to think about, wait a minute, let's all take a minute and figure out.
Yeah, and it's like, was this drug out before? Like, why didn't this happen to anyone else?
Don't do that.
Yeah, but I tell you, you're completely right, and I think the same thing, but it does it in a way where it doesn't insult your intelligence, like, say, Transformers 4. Like, it at least makes enough internal sense while it's going on for me not to notice it. Whereas Transformers 4, I'm like, oh my god, my god, this is just fucking stupid.
This movie knows it's a comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It plays to its strengths. Man, by the end of this movie, I was going, Luc Besson, where have you been? Because this takes elements of his three movies that I really like, Leon the Professional, Nikita, and Fifth Element.
That was Besson?
Which
oh my god.
all in the fucking 90s. That's how long it has been since he's made something I really like, and kind of combines them in a you know great frothy way. And I think I had a pretty good time at this. You want to kind of grab some final thoughts on this?
Yeah, we do that. You want to go first, Bo?
Sure. Let's see. I you know, like I think I've made myself pretty clear on this. I really had a good time at this movie. Didn't know what to expect. Like I said, Besson's track record has been spotty as of late. I really appreciated seeing him kind of come back into a form that I really enjoy. There's nothing deeply cerebral about this movie, despite its trappings. and really, I think it does a good job of not being pretentious about that. I think it just kind of throws it out and asks you to go along for the ride. And I think if you do, you're going to have a really good time. Because there's certainly enough in this movie to keep your eyes stimulated and to keep your pulse racing, even if it's not particularly making you any smarter.
Yeah.
All in all, I would give it, I think, a 75% of a 100% potential.
Yep.
I guess I'll go next. I really like this movie. It has a really tight runtime. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It moves fast. The script moves well. When imagery is used, it's used to good effect. It doesn't seem like the imagery is there just to be like, wow, look at what I'm doing. He doesn't get up his own ass about it. Scarlett Johansson gives a really good performance, and she saves this movie from having people laugh at it because she really delivers it well. I like just some of the ideas it posits, even if it doesn't make that much sense. So I would say if you're looking for something that's just going to be light, you can just go and enjoy, go see this movie. But one of the caveats is you need to, if you're going to see this movie, get on board with it when you start. If you're going to sit there with your lips stuck out saying, this doesn't make sense, you're not going to enjoy it, you need to leave. And that's not a thing against you, I'm just trying to save you another hour. So all in all, I will give it a 75 neurons out of 100.
I'm probably kind of in the middle of both of you guys. In part because when you see this movie, you can't help but think of Limitless, which is just a couple years ago. And while I agree with Elliot in the sense that You can watch this movie and not really think about while it's happening. Limitless, I think, was as implausible as the whole idea of using more than 10% of your brain is in the first place. I think Limitless, nearly everything that happened in Limitless seemed kind of plausible, whereas this, she becomes nearly every one of the X-Men in one person, man. It's crazy. and it's a fun ride while it's there. I think the first two acts I was kind of having fun with. Everything that kind of happened in the third act with the weird things that happened to her.
You mean Akira?
Yeah. All of that is... It didn't really work for me, and so by the end of the third act, I was kind of laughing along at it more so than with it.
That's fair.
But, I mean, yeah, the nice tight runtime, the great performance from Scarlett Johansson and Min-Sik Choi did do a lot for it and did kind of save it for me. Not great, but I'm probably going to give it 65 out of 100 brain cells.
Okay, so we're averaging about a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Hey, it was fun enough of a movie to convince me to go home and do some really hard drugs tonight.
Do you need that much convincing?
No.